السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أبا عامر، how are you؟ أمين وإياكم. Can we go on؟
نعم شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، we on these days, the days of Jumu'ah after Salat al-Asr, we read Kitab al-Kabair by Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ahmad. Kitab al-Kabair seeks to explain to us those major sins, those major criminal offenses and contraventions of the Quran and the Sunnah, about which Allah says, إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم وندخلكم مدخلا كريما. إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه. If you distance yourself from those things that are kabair, if you distance yourself from كبائر ما تنهون عنه, those ones that are kabair, from the things that you have been prohibited, meaning that amongst the things that Allah has prohibited us, some of them are kabair. Allah said, "Nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum." We will forgive you your other sins. Wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. And we will make you enter al-Jannah in a honorable manner. So this necessitates that we understand and recognize Al-Kabair. So in this book, Al-Imam Al-Zahabi rahimahullah Abu Abdullah, he explains to us one after the other what are Al-Kabair, those sins that make up Kabair, from the worst of them and so on. He started with Ashirku Billah. Then he mentioned Qatlun Nafs, taking the soul of an individual who is innocent. The third one he mentioned, Al-Kabiratu Thalitha, is As-Sihr. As-Sihr, sorcery, magic, making charms, necromancy, spells, witchcraft. It has many other names. May Allah protect us. In the last class, we revised the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that occurs in this chapter as hadith number 27. We read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud on page 107. That hadith occurs in this book as hadith number 27, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Arruqa wattama'imu wattiwalatu shirkun. Arruqa. We explain that even though this expression is general, arruqa, referring to every kind of arruqya, we understand that what it actually means is those forms of ruqa or ruqya that contravene the dictates of the Sharia. They may also occur in languages that are not understood. They may also include calling the names of jinns and things like that. We explain this. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Arruqa wa tama'im. The tama'im are the talismans, the amulets. People make them by way of seeking protection. We said sometimes it may involve names of jinns and other shirkiyat. If it is like this, And those people who do it think that these are the things that will actually protect them. Then that is from the shirk that takes a person out of Islam. But if it is including things like the verses of the Quran and the likes of that, it is haram. It is not lawful upon the scholar's view, rahimahumullah. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a general prohibition. He said, Man allaqa tamimatan faqad ashraka. Man allaqa tamimatan. Whoever ties any kind of talisman. So it means whether the talisman is made from Quran or not, don't tie talisman. Don't tie it. If it is now made from words of shirk, names of jinns, that one is shirk. But if it is from other things that does not involve shirk in it, then it is not lawful. Why? It contrasts with hadith that says, Man allaqa tamimatan faqad ashraka. We explained these matters in details in the last class. Likewise, at-tiwala. At-tiwala is the sihr women make towards their husband. They want the man to love them and become a fool following them about. So they make a tiwala. In a riwayah of this hadith in the Mustadrak of Al-Imam Hakim, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does a tiwala mean? فَقَالَ أَتِّوَلَةُ هُوَ الَّذِي يُهَيِّجُ الرِّجَالَ. At-tiwala is that sihr, yuhayyiju rijal. It agitates men. It will be moving the man. It will be agitating him, moving him, pushing him. So sometimes he behaves like a fool towards his wife. It is from at-tiwala and it is not lawful. All of these are from the aspects of sihr. Sihr is haram. It is from the kabair. And most of it is shirk. Shirk that takes a person out of Islam. We have explained most of these in details repeatedly. After Al-Imam al-Zahabi gave an explanation on At-Tiwala and At-Tamima, he gave a lengthy explanation about a matter that requires an explanation. And that matter, we said it is best that we take it in a single class so that we read it and it will be the end of that lesson on Al-Kabiratu Thalitha before we come to Al-Kabiratu Rabi'ah, which is Tarku Salah, abandoning Salah. May Allah protect us from that evil. So while giving this detail, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, Rahimahullah, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْكَبَائِرِ. You should understand this point, that many of these kabair that we are talking about, he said, rahimahullah, بَلْ عَامَتُهَا إِلَّا الْأَقَلِ. In fact, the large majority of them, إِلَّا الْأَقَلِ, except the very, very, very little number of them, a very small number among these kabair, these major sins, leaving salat, as-sihr, and qatlun nafs. Many of these kabair, min al-ummati tahrimahu yajhalu, salkun kathirun min al-ummati tahrimahu, many khalkun kathir. Many amongst the people in the Ummah, min al-Ummah. These many people in the Ummah, he said, يَجْهَلُ خَلْقٌ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْأُمَّةِ تَحْرِيمَهُ. Many of the people in the Ummah, they are ignorant that these things are prohibited. For example, we just mentioned that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that مَنْ عَلَّقَ تَمِيمَةً فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. Anybody who ties a tamihima, something that's a rope tied together with another thing by way of seeking protection, And then he writes inside it. He writes Surah Al-Fatiha or Ayat Al-Kursi inside it. He ties it. He does not know the ruling. He seeks for protection. He does not know that it is haram. So the Imam al-Dhahabi said, Rahimahullah, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْكَبَائِرِ. The large majority of these kabair, يَجْهَلُ خَلْقٌ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْأُمَّةِ تَحْرِيمَهُ. The large majority of the people in the Ummah, they are ignorant about the prohibitions. وَمَا بَلَغَهُ الزَّجْرُ فِيهِ وَلَا الْوَعِيدِ. مَا بَلَغَهُ الزَّجْرُ فِيهِ. These warnings from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding these matters, وَلَا الْوَعِيدِ, or the statements that show that anybody who does it will be punished. مَا بَلَغَهُ. It did not reach them. They don't know. Some women never heard it. They will never even imagine that atiwala is haram. And that it is from the aspects of ashik. Atiwala is that a woman does some medicines by way of making her husband become inclined towards her. She's able to control. They don't know. Zahabi said that. I'm reading what Al-Imam Zahabi said. And my explanations here will be very few, because he explained the matter completely. Rahimahullah. He said, وَعْلَمُ أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْكَبَائِرِ. Not just sihr. Even tarku salah. Many people don't know the rulings. أَوْ شُرْبُ الْخَمْرِ, especially those. He will explain it. Let me do a little of explanations. Al-Imam al-Zahabi explained everything that he means here. Rahimahullah. So the point, he said, many of the people are not aware. أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْكَبَائِرِ. These people, he says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْكَبَائِرِ. You should understand that the bulk of these kabair, بَلْ أَعْمَتُهَا, in fact, the large majority of these kabair, يَجْهَلُ خَلْقٌ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْأُمَّةِ تَحْرِيمَهُ. The largest amongst the group of Muslims in this ummah, they are not aware, they are ignorant that these things are haram. وَمَا بَلَغَهُ الزَّجْرُ فِيهِ. The various statements of caution and warning regarding it from Allah, from the Prophet, مَا بَلَغَهُ. It did not reach him. He does not know anything from the Quran. He does not know anything from the Sunnah. He does not attend any lectures. He just knows that he's a Muslim. And unfortunately, some people live in environments where these are the things that the Muslim in those environments, they do. In fact, the Imam of the Masjid has a tamima inside his house on top of the door that he has tied there. So the miskin thinks that that is a normal thing. So he didn't read Quran, he didn't read hadith, he didn't hear any lecture. مَا بَلَغَهُ الزَّجْرُ فِيهِ. The various words of caution regarding these things did not reach him. وَلَا الْوَعِيدِ. The statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that makes us understand that anybody who does these things will be punished by Allah. مَا بَلَغَهُ. It did not reach him. Imam al-Zahabi said, rahimahullah, فَهَذَا الدَّرْبُ فِيهِمْ تَفْصِيلٌ. These groups of people, their matter requires some explanations. It requires some elaborations. He said, rahimahullah, therefore, فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْعَالِمِ أَلَّا يَسْتَعْجِلَ عَلَى الْجَاهِلِ. It is therefore very, very necessary, لِلْعَالِمِ. It is very incumbent on a learned person, أَلَّا يَسْتَعْجِلَ عَلَى الْجَاهِلِ, not to be hasty in giving a ruling about an ignorant person. A man is ignorant, does not know anything, and he does not have any way to be able to know. He came from a remote place. You will hear all the explanations. So you saw something on his arm, and then you rule upon him that you are a mushrik. How about that? You rule upon him that you are a mushrik. This hadith of Ibn Mas'ud we just read. Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud saw on the hand of his wife a ruqya was read upon something and it was tied upon her hand because of an eye that was paining her, the wife of a companion. She considered the ruqya lawful. It is not a ruqya that is haram. That was why we said, what is mentioned here in terms of at-tamima, when he said, what tama'im? It includes those tama'im that you have Ayatul Kursi or Suratul Fatiha inside them. Because the wife of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud could not have written in that paper things that are words of shirk. They are words of iman, like verses of Quran that were written in the paper. Her eye was paining her. The hadith occurs in Sunan ibn Majah. It also occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. Her eyes was paining her. So a woman will come and write those things and hang it on her hand. Ibn Mas'ud was touching his wife and he saw it. He cut it off. Because she was not aware. Radiallahu anha. His part of not knowing. He cut it off and threw it away. He then tell her about this hadith. That all these are part from are parts of ways of shirk, whether the shirk is akbar or asgar, as the case may be, according to how we have explained. So please, fayambagi lil alimi Allah yasta'jila ala al-jahil. So the learned person should be calm. Yambagi. It is very incumbent upon the learned person, Allah yasta'jila ala al-jahil, not to be hasty towards the person who is ignorant. Bal yarfuku bihi. He should rather be easy with him. Wa yu'allimuhu mimma 'allamahu Allah. The learned person should teach the person who is ignorant. Teach him from the things that Allah has taught you. You have knowledge that tying something on the hand, wearing a particular kind of ring for protection and all of these is unlawful. So teach the one who is doing it. In fact, there's a way that it occurs now. Stickers is a way that this thing is done. Some people write Suratul Fatiha on a sticker and they place it on their car. It's part of it. Why? They think that placing that Suratul Fatiha on their car will protect the car. It is part of At-Tamima, or At-Tamaim. That's why he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Tamimad, Aqad Ashroka. Anybody who ties something, hoping that he will get protection from that thing, Aqad Ashroka, he has committed a kind of shirk. May Allah protect us. So it is necessary, bal yarfuku bihi, oh you learned person, you know that this thing is wrong. Fatarfuku bil jahil. So take it easy with that person who is ignorant about these rulings. Take it easy with them. Wa yu'allimuhu mimma 'allamahu Allah. And then you will teach them, you will explain to them from the knowledge regarding that matter that Allah has taught you. ولا سيما إذا كان قريب الأهل بجاهليته especially إذا كان قريب الجهل قريب الأهل. If the person you are dealing with, if the ignorant person you are dealing with is what? قريب الأهل بجاهليته. He just only recently left Jahiliyyah. He was a Christian. He just left recently. He was a Hindu. He just left recently. He was a Jew. He just left recently. He was Babalawo. He just left recently. He has not learned all the ahkam of Sharia. Tarfuku bihi. You take it easy with him. Watu'allimuhu mimma 'allamaka Allah. And you will teach him from the things that Allah has taught you. There are many examples of things like this in the life of the Prophet. I'll just mention one hadith, we should go and read it. The hadith of Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami, who was talking while observing Salat, talking as we talked. He just accepted Islam. So, ikhwah, ترفق بالجاهل وتعلمه مما علمك الله، لا سيما إذا كان قريب العهد بجاهليته. He is just only recently accepting Islam. Take it easy with him. Explain to him. قد نشأ في بلاد الكفر البعيدة. He had grown up in the lands of Kufr that are far away from the lands of Islam. Perhaps it might be that قد نشأ is, it is possible that his own case is that he grew up in the lands of Kufr, far away from the lands of Islam. وأسر وجلب إلى أرض الإسلام. So perhaps أسر, he became taken as a captive of war. وجلب إلى أرض الإسلام. And he was taken to the lands of Islam. وهو تركي كافر. He was perhaps from the Turks in those days. The Turks were far away from the lands of Islam. Far away, remote, in one village. He didn't know anything about Islam. So he was captured there as a prisoner of war, brought into the lands of Islam. He does not know anything. وهو تركي كافر أو كرجي مشرك لا يعرف العربي. He perhaps is a Turki kafir, is a person from the Turks, is a Turkish, far away. In those days, no Islam. Kafir. He was a kafir. He just accepted Islam newly. Or Kurjiyun, Georgians. The Georgians, they occur on the far borders of Azerbaijan in those days. They are also far away, far east. That's where he's from. La ya'rifu bil Arabi. He does not know anything about the Arabic language. فاشتراه أمير تركي لا علم عنده ولا فهم. So a Muslim from amongst the Turks who are in the cities, near the cities of Islam, is the one who purchased him as a slave. لا علم عنده. He too does not have very much knowledge. The one who bought him as a slave too does not have knowledge. ولا فهم. He too does not have understanding of Islam. فبالجهد إن تلفظ بالشهادة. If this kind of a Muslim who is a slave, whether a Turk or a Georgian who just recently accepted Islam, he was brought into the land of Islam. إن تلفظ بالشهادة فبالجهد. If he ever even says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, dhahabi said, fabil jahadi. It is tikpa that he will do that. He'll be doing that upon serious stress to even be able to say shahadatan. I have seen people like this before. I grew up in the far south. And I have seen Ijaws accepting Islam. I've seen people from Nembe accepting Islam. I've seen people from Brass accepting Islam. I've seen people from Calabar newly accepting Islam. I lived in Akwa Ibom for some years. I, Abu Nasser, I have seen Akwa Ibomites, Ibibios, Efik accepting Islam. Wallahi, this is how their condition is. If they are making shahadatan, you see the mouth is tough, very difficult. He said, Rahimahullah. So even if he's saying ashhadu Allah, it's difficult. Is this the kind of person you want to give a ruling of that is a mushrik? Because you saw tamima on his hand. How about the sheikh that he was coming with? And he has not learned any new thing about Islam than that Islam has that you worship only one God. And that Muhammad is his Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. That's all he knows. Then perhaps maybe he sees Muslims praying. Nothing other than that. Five times a day. I have seen people like this. Al-Imam Al-Zahabi said, فَإِنْ فَهِمَ بِالْعَرَبِي حَتَّى يَفْقَهَ مَعَنَ الشَّهَادَتَيْنِ بَعْدَ أَيَّامٍ وليالٍ فبها ونعمه. He said, if this man is able فهم بالعربي حتى يفقه معنى الشهادتين. This kind of a man, we begin to teach him from day one. This is one of the problems many converts to Islam face, even in places like Ibadan, Lagos, and other places where the presence of Islam and Muslims is very high. The ability to teach them the religion, teach them Arabic, teach them Quran, and proceed is very low. So yes, people can accept Islam. That is even when our attention as Muslims is now low. Our attention to invite people to Islam from kufur of Christianity, from the kufur of Judaism, from the kufur of godlessness to Islam. We Muslims now, our mouths are locked. We don't do it. We hardly do it again. We hardly tell people about Islam. When we tell them about Islam, we don't now teach them other things in Islam. Not to say learning Arabic. Not to say learning Quran. And that's why I like to remember somebody now. And that is Malam Ahmad Chanchangi. He has a place in Kaduna that I knew. I don't know whether the place still exists. He built the place like a hostel. If an Igbo or a Rivers man or an Ijo man or Akwa Ibomite, all these people in the far south remote regions, when they accept Islam, they bring them to Kaduna to spend 1 year or 2 years to learn Islam. I knew it when I was in the south south. I knew it when I came to Kaduna to reside. That place is in somewhere around Kinkino. Then they were teaching people. And I remember there's also a place like that in Kano. And I remember somebody again, Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Uthman. That's the same Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Uthman that you know in Kano. Wallahi, he's been useful in these areas. How to teach. Bring people from Ijo, Ukrika, Ogoni. Malam Muhammad Ibn Uthman, he used to come to Ogoni land. I knew him when I was in secondary school when he was coming there in the 80s. The same Ibn man that you know in Kano now. I don't know they have done some of them to invite people who are far out, the lot of energy that you've been hearing about. And you go to Ogoni land, the land of Kensaroiwa. They have a lot of Muslims there. They established masajid there. He will sometimes bring people from the north to remain there to teach people. Some of them, after they teach them, they take them to Kano, they teach them to Kaduna, they learn Islam, they come back amongst their people. Mala Muhammad Ibn Uthman. May Allah reward this servant of Allah and forgive him whatever shortcomings he may have. So we Muslims these days, our attention to inviting others to Islam is very small. When we even invite them, we don't have time for them to grow as Muslims. So is this the one now that you see one thing that is tied on his neck? You say, hey, kafir, you send him back to the kufr that he was coming out from. فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْعَالِمِ أَلَّا يَسْتَعْجِلَ عَلَى الْجَاهِلِ. That man does not know, he does not have a way of knowing. So إِنْ تَلَفَّظَ بِالشَّهَادَتَيْنِ فَبِالْجَهْدِ. If he would even say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَبِالْجَهْدِ, he will be doing that with every stress and pressure. In fahima bil Arabi, if he is even going to understand Lugha Arabiya, hatta yafqaha ma'ana shahadatain ba'da al-ayyam, ba'da ayyamin wa layalin, fabiha wa ni'ma. If he is going to be able to understand the Arabic language so that he can understand the meaning of ash-shahadatain, those two twin statements of Iman, ba'da ayyamin wa layalin, after days and nights. This is the condition. We are expecting that someone who accepts Islam, an Irobo man or an Akwa Ibomite, an Ibibio or an Efik from Calabar or Anang, will accept Islam. After days and nights, he'll be able to speak Arabic. How about the Muslim that was born into Islam? Is he able to speak Arabic and understand the religion properly from the Arabic language itself? You that you are born into Islam, your father and mother are Muslims, you are even proud, your father is the Imam of your community. Are you able to understand Islam from its Arabic sources? So not to say someone who was newly brought into Islam. Zahabi said, we want him to understand Arabic over a few days. So if we are able to achieve that, Fabiha wa ni'ma. He said, that is good and okay. He went on to describe the condition of this jahil that he called, rahimahullah, qarib al-ahdi bi jahiliyatihi. He said, rahimahullah, thumma qad yusalli wa qad la yusalli. He may be praying, he may not be praying. I have seen it before. You will hear a Christian, those days when we were younger than this, I'll be Muslim, I'll not be Christian. I have seen people like that. But it doesn't mean that he's observing Salah. He knows that he's not a Christian. He's convinced about the message of Islam. He took Shahada, but no further, nothing more. He says, God you Sali, what could la you Sali? Al Imam Zahabi is giving an example with people, the Georgians, the Turks. I'm giving an example with people we live with and things that have happened that we have seen. May Allah forgive all of us. Al-Zahabi said, Rahimahullah, Qad yusalli wa qad la yusalli. He may be praying, may not be praying. Wa qad yulaqqanu al-fatihata ma'a tul in kana ustadhuhu fihi dinun ma. This kind of a person, Qad yulaqqanu al-fatiha. He may even be taught the Fatiha. I remember many people we taught Fatiha. I and my brothers, they accepted Islam from our hands. At least when I was in secondary school, we had seven of us, our friends, they accepted Islam. We taught them Suratul Fatiha. We taught them how to observe Salat. One of them married my younger sister after. She's still with him till today. My father said, marry her to him. He's from Ijo. He's an Ijo. He's from Nembe. He married my younger sister. But these kinds of things, when we leave those kinds of community, we don't find those kinds of efforts again. And I don't even know what kinds of efforts are going on in those kinds of locations again. So if those kinds of people accepted Islam, he says, وَقَدْ يُلَقَّنُ الْفَاتِحَةَ مَعَتُولِ over a long time, that is when you'll be teaching him, say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ and so on. إِنْ كَانَ أُسْتَاذُهُ فِيهِ دِينُ مَّا. If the person that kind of a person is under has any kind of a deen at all, maybe over a long time he may be taught Al-Fatiha. فَإِنْ كَانَ أُسْتَاذُهُ شَبِيهًا بِهِ. If the person that this new Muslim is under is just like the new Muslim too, ignorant about the religion, Al-Zahabi said, فَمِنْ أَيْنَ لِهَذَا الْمِسْكِينَ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ شَرَائِعَ الْإِسْلَامِ. Where will this miskin, where will this poor man, this poor individual, this innocent man, how, مِنْ أَيْنَ لِهَذَا الْمِسْكِينَ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ شَرَائِعَ الْإِسْلَامِ. Where will he know the rulings? So that he begins to know that there is something called رُقَى ذَيْرُ شَرْعِيَةِ. There is something called tamima, talisman, charms, amulet. Don't tie something on your hand. Don't tie something on your leg. Don't say incantation. Where will he know that one? When he can't even find somebody to teach him Al-Fatiha. Wal-Kabair. Wajtinabaha. How will he know Kabair? And I should abstain from Kabair. You have Muslims who were born into Islam 25, 30 years. They don't know Kabair. You are not talking about somebody who is just a year, 6 months old in Islam. Where will he learn Kabair? Who will teach him Kabair? And telling him to abstain from Kabair. Wal-wajibati wa ityanaha. How will he know wajibat, those things that are compulsory? Wa ityanaha. And the obligation of observing them. How will he know? How? Imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, فَإِنْ أُرِّفَ هَذَا الْمُوبِقَاتُ الْكَبَائِرِ وَحُذِّرَ مِنْهَا إِنْ أُرِّفَ هَذَا الْمُوبِقَاتُ. If this man begins to be told about kabair gradually, وَحُذِّرَ مِنْهَا, and he began to be, you know, warned and cautioned to abstain from al-kabair, وَأَرْكَانُ الْفَرَائِدِ, and he began to be taught the pillars, the mainstays in the matters that are compulsory. وَأَتَقَدَهَا, and he begins to believe, you know, have good aqidah, understand kabair, understand faraid, those things that are compulsory gradually. Imam Zabi said, فَهُوَ سَعِيدٌ, this man is really, really successful. وَذَلِكَ نَادِرٌ, and that is very, very rare. Very rare. Easily, people who accept Islam, they are abandoned. It's really unfortunate. It's unfortunate. And Allah will ask the Muslims about it. Even those who get busy with inter-religious discussions, what do you call them? Comparative analysis. After they bring somebody to Islam, Allah knows how much attention they pay to make that person grow up on Islam. We have a lot of rich men there. They don't think about building a place. I don't know anywhere in Southwest where the place is particularly built to teach new Muslims Islam. New Muslims, teaching them Islam, getting their feet firm upon Islam. Are Muslims even inviting other people to accept Islam today? Where is our energy directed? Is our energy directed to bringing people to Islam, or are the energies even directed to those people who are Muslims struggling to be better? You want to expel them from Islam? May Allah protect us. That's why he said, if this can happen, in urifa hadal mubiqat, if this kind of a person, urifa mubiqat, if he is taught mubiqatul kabair, those destructive sins amongst the kabair, this one is kabair, Allah does not like it. This one is kabira, Allah does not like it. This one is kabira, Allah does not like it. If he is taught, وَحُذِّرَ مِنْهَا, if he is warned to abstain and he abstains, if he is also taught arkanul faraid, the main obligatory matters inside our religion, وَأَتَقَدَهَا, and he believes and knows them and does them, فَهُوَ سَعِيدٌ, ah, this man is successful. When he said that, Al-Imam Zahabi said, وَذَلِكَ نَادِرٌ, that is very scarce, that is very rare. فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَحْمَدَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى, so it is necessary for the servant to thank Allah. Allah gave birth to you, your father is a learned person. Allah made you become given birth to by your father who is a learned person, because Allah does not give birth. So that was a slip from me. So Allah made you, brought you to this dunya, and your daddy is learned. He will teach you your religion. You have near you asatiza, mashayikh, dakatira. All of these people will guide you upon Islam. And then some of the people also, we say, they don't pay attention to the learning. And yet you have people who accept Islam, they don't find people to teach them. May Allah protect us. Al-Zahabi said, فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَحْمَدَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَلَى الْعَافِيَةِ, so it is necessary for the individual to thank Allah for goodness, for well-being. فَإِنْ كِيلَ, some people can argue and say that, هو فرط لكونه ما سأل عما يجب عليه. This man was negligent. Why? Why was he not asking ما سأل عما يجب عليه? Why was he not asking about the things that are compulsory on him from day one so that he starts observing Salah? Why did he not ask? Ila. The answer that we give to such persons is that هذا ما دار في رأسه. What you see him do, that is what occurs to him in his mind. وَلَسْتَشْعَرَ أَنَّ سُؤَالَ مَنْ يُعَلِّمُهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ. He didn't even know that it is necessary for him to ask somebody for something. Look at it too. In Christianity, do they ask anybody for anything? So if he's coming from Christianity to Islam, why do you think he will be asking? He's not used to asking from where he was coming from. So why do you think it was when he accepts Islam he'll be asking? So Zahabi said, what occurred in the mind of that ignorant miser? What do I want to ask for? And it's not in a community where there are a lot of Muslims. Zahabi said, هَذَا مَا دَارَ فِي رَأْسِهِ وَلَسْتَشْعَرَ أَنَّ سُؤَالَ مَنْ يُعَلِّمُهُ يَجِبُ عَلِهِ مَسْتَشْعَرَ. He didn't even think of it. It didn't even occur to him that it is necessary to ask. Al-Zahabi says, Rahimahullah, that is one of the meanings of that verse. That وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Someone, مَنْ لَمْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ لَمْ يَهْتَدِي. The one that Allah has not guided, where will he find guidance? He didn't even think about it. فَمَا لَهُ. How will he find light to be guided? So Zahabi said, Rahimahullah, فَلَا يَأْثَمُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ. So you cannot say somebody is committing a sin except after he has good knowledge. He has knowledge that this is a tiwala, this is a ruqa gairu shar'iyya, this is a tamima, this is a sihr, this is qatlun nafs, this is tarqus salah, this is riba, this is an-namima, this is riba. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't have a way of knowing. There's nothing that happened that makes him feel he needs to know any new thing in the religion. فَلَا يَأْثَمُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ. So don't say that somebody is committing a sin when he's ignorant and he does not have a way of knowing. Underline my expressions properly. The man is absolutely ignorant, and there is no way he can know. Let me give us an example so that it becomes clear. A man who accepts Islam in a community where there are Muslims observing Salah, they will say, Hayala Salah, Hayala. You see, they are Muslims like me. I've become a Muslim like them. This kind of a person is not in this category. Why? He sees the Muslim. That their Hayala Salah itself makes him, some Muslims are going to that house. What are they doing there? I have to go there too. That will make him be able to know that there is salat. And then if he's observing salat, he'll be hearing them reading something. That should make him know that this thing they are reading, I too should know it gradually. So he'll be learning gradually. But the one who is living in the community, no Muslim, nobody. Like Imam Zahabi said, Qad yusalli wa qad la yusalli. He may not even remember in salah. What is salat? Hitting the head on the ground. I remember vividly when I was in Akwa Ibom. When they see me with kettle, they say I want to wash my body so that I can go to the church, Awusa Church. May Allah protect us. Some of our brothers in youth service, they will see things like this if they go to the Far East and South South. Al-Zahabi says, Rahimahullah. فَلَا يَأْثَمُ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ. This is قَعِدَة in Islam. لَا يَأْثَمُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ. You cannot say anybody is committing a sin إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ until he knows that this thing you are doing is a sin, it's not good, it's bad. It's not good, it's bad. That's why I always emphasize it. We have a bigger job to enlighten and educate people than to be expelling them from the group of Sunnah. We have a bigger job, the job of education and enlightenment. تيتشين تعليم. ادعو الى سبيل ربك بالحكمه. This ادعو, we have jobs of da'wah. So people, you hardly see them making any explanation to anybody. They want to sit down to look for errors and expel you rather than explain to you to know. They gain, you gain. They will expel you. You lose, they lose. فَلَا يَأْثَمُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْإِلْمِ. So it means the job is actually ta'aleem. The man that you want to expel from Sunnah or from Islam, maybe if he understood, the time, the energy you spend to be able to gather evidences to expel him, why not spend it to be able to make him understand that thing you are abusing him that is a jahil? Why not spend that energy to teach him rather than expel him? So you are not teaching, you are not expelling. The one who is trying to teach, you say you want to expel him too, so that nobody learns anything. Shaitan is using you if you don't know. May Allah protect us. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, فَلَا يَعْثَمُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ. So you can't say somebody is committing a sin unless he knows about what you accuse him of. That he's committing a sin. Knowing about it means he knows about it, or he has a way to be able to know. He is just nonchalant about knowing. Those who are nonchalant about knowing, and those who don't, who know, they all usually have the same ruling. Those who have a way, who can know, but are just nonchalant, and those who know, they usually come under the same ruling. Zabi say, and I repeat, فَلَا يَأْثَمُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ. So don't accuse anybody to be committing a sin. لَا يَأْثَمُ أَحَدٌ. No one is actually committing a sin. إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ. Unless and until he has good knowledge of it, and then he is deliberately acting against it. وَبَعْدَ كِيَامِ الْحُجَّةِ عَلَيْهِ لَا يَعْثَمُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ وَبَعْدَ كِيَامِ الْحُجَّةِ عَلَيْهِ. Nobody can be accused to be committing a sin until and unless he has good knowledge of the matter. وَبَعْدَ كِيَامِ الْحُجَّةِ عَلَيْهِ. And then we establish evidence against him. Brother, today where I observe Salatul Jummah in Lagos, as the imam was making the khutbah, one young man was pressing his phone, chatting. He was listening to the khutbah. At a point when the imam spoke, Jazawullah khairan, he spoke about a very important aspect of the religion. Wallahi, I saw this same man pressing his phone. I saw him weeping. Tears were dropping from his eyes when the imam was speaking. So now you can see he really wants to know, but he doesn't know that the pressing of the phone while the imam is giving the khutbah, it will destroy his Jummah. It's as if he has no reward of Jummah. But this ruling does not apply to him. Why? He appears to be a jahil. It as if he's jahil. And these are rulings people hardly explain. So even if he wants to know, how will he know? People are busy expelling people from Islam and Sunnah rather than teach people. I have hardly heard anybody discussing Ahkamul Jum'ah, the rulings on Jum'ah. It happens a lot. Go to many mosques of Jum'ah. You see people acting against. In fact, you see the khutbah, those delivering the khutbah, when they want to make dua, you see them raising the two hands up. They raise the two hands because they don't understand. So imam does not understand these rulings. Why? How will the people sitting in front of him understand, even if they want to understand? So before you rule on people that their Jummah has spoiled, your Jummah has spoiled, let it be that they know, or that they have a way of knowing, they are just nonchalant. In my case, I think that these kind of people, they want to know, but they don't have a way to know this matter. Sometimes it could be general, sometimes it can be regarding specific matters that They don't have a way to know. I don't think many people have a way to know the rulings of Juma, that anybody who touches any other than or does anything in the Juma faqad lagha, that this hadith. I don't know. I've not seen anybody explaining it. The rulings of Ahkamul Juma, what you can do in Juma, what you cannot do, what inside the masjid as the khutbah is going on. I've not seen anybody explaining it. People just act. So the larger majority of the Muslims will not know. So you see him pressing his phone now on WhatsApp. And the next moment you saw him crying. The unfortunate thing is that if you correct him there, you are like him. So another one want to say, Afaf, don't press WhatsApp again during khutbah. The two of them become so ignorance. And the way to help the ignorant is to teach him to alimuhu. This is ta'alim now that is rare in our community. People will keep quiet until they hear their brother make one mistake. That is when they start speaking. That is da'wah. That is manhaj. Manhaj. May Allah protect us. So let us get it right. فَلَا يَعْثَمُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْعِلْمِ وَبَعْدَ قِيَامِ الْحُجَّةِ عَلَيْهِ لَا يَعْثَمُ أَحَدٌ. No one commits a sin. No one can be told that you have done sihr illa ba'd al-ilm, until when, if he knows that sihr is haram, sihr is shirk, sihr is from kabair, a tiwala is bad. A woman can go and do tiwala. Why? I want my husband to love him. I don't want him to throw me out, not knowing that tiwala is shirk. Wa ba'd qiyam al-hujjati alayhi. Then we have to explain the hujjah to them that will prevent them from doing those things. Wallahu latifun bi'ibadihi. Allah is latifun bi'ibadihi, ra'ufun bihim. Allah is easy and kind with his creatures. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ra'ufun bihim. Allah is compassionate with his creatures. Qala ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We will not punish the people until we have raised a messenger to explain to them. Al-Imam ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah in Zadul Masir said this verse means that أَنَّ الدِّينَ لَيْسَ بِالْعَقْلِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ بِمَذَا بِالشَّرْكِ. The deen is not based upon incense. Don't you have sense that Allah is one? No. What is it based upon? Allah said that is one. This is the basic rule about religion, Islam. So ma kunna mu'adhibina hatta nab'atha rasula. We will not punish the people until we have raised a messenger to them to explain the religion to them. So these kinds of ignorant people, the man is from Ibibio, the man is from Igbo. It's even in the north. There are communities in the north where people are absolutely ignorant about Islam. Go to Southern Kaduna. Go to aspects of Zaria. Go to aspects of Kano. Somebody told me before somewhere around Kano that there are still people, Maguzawa, people who worship fire in the north. Go to Adamawa, go to Yobe, go to Taraba. You still see fire worshippers in these places. So don't think that it is something that is far away. It is near. So the man just accepted Islam. He didn't know anything. He's living in his community. He didn't come out. Or he came out. He fell in the hand of another Muslim who is almost like him. Shabihan bihi, like Al-Imam Zahabi said. Even to say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah is difficult. Allah is latifun bi'ibadihi, ra'ufun bihim, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not punish this kind of people. And those kinds of people, when they are in remote areas, they have a lot of talismans and amulets and things they tie on their body because they are afraid of wild animals and wicked people in the desert. So you say, ah, shirk, 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 mushrik. He say, what do you mean? He'll be asking you what you mean. He say, this thing you have tied on your hand, it is Jahannam that you enter. Meanwhile, the man accepted Islam running away from Jahannam. That's why Imam Zahabi said, Yambagi lil alimi Allah yasta'ajil alal jahil. The learned person should not be hasty upon a person who is ignorant. Bal yarfuku bihi. He should handle him with ease. Wa yu'allimuhu mimma 'allamahu Allah. You teach him from the things that Allah has taught you. Why? Allah is latifun bi'ibadihi ra'ufun bihim. Wa ma kunna, Allah will not punish them. Why? They don't have a way of knowing and they don't know. Hatta naba'asa rasula. Until a message from a messenger reaches them, this thing is bad, stop it. Your messenger, you say you believe in Muhammad, you say it's bad, so remove it. It is after that time. Wa iqamati al-hujjati alayhim, explaining the religion to them in a manner that will prevent them from going back again. It is after that time you start giving them rulings. وَقَدْ كَانَ سَادَةُ الصَّحَابَةِ Zahabi gave us the first evidence why those people cannot be held responsible. The first one is that Allah said, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. The second one, he said, وَقَدْ كَانَ سَادَةُ الصَّحَابَةِ بِالْحَبَشَةِ The elders and the eminent ones amongst the companions were in Habasha, in Abyssinia. Elders amongst them, like Uthman ibn Affan, like Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and others, even Maymuna, who later became a wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All these people were in Habasha. They were in Abyssinia. وَيَنْزِلُ الْوَاجِبُ وَالتَّحْرِيمُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ And things that are compulsory, things that are haram, were coming down to the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. فَلَا يَبْلُغُهُمْ تَحْرِيمُهُ إِلَّا بَعْدَ أَشْهُرٍ Those things that Allah has prohibited, it will not, the information will not get to those who are in Habasha. إِلَّا بَعْدَ أَشْهُرٍ Except after some months in Medina and Mecca. Haram, haram. These things are haram. These things are haram. But those people amongst the Muslims in Abyssinia, elders amongst the companions, لَا يَبْلُغُهُمْ تَحْرِيمُهُ إِلَّا بَعْدَ أَشْهُرٍ Those things that Allah has prohibited, the information will not get to them, except months after. فَهُمْ فِي تِلْكَ الْأَشْهُرِ مَعْذُورُونَ بِالْجَهَلِ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَهُمُ النَّصْرُ فَهُمْ فِي تِلْكَ الْأَشْهُرِ For those months in between when the messages came down and up to the time when the messages will reach them, فَهُمْ مَعْذُورُونَ They are excused. بِالْجَهَلِ The excuse is an excuse that they did not know that it has become haram. حَتَّى يَبْلُغَهُمُ النَّصُ That will stop when the text of the Quran and the statements, that is what you saw, we did not know, we stopped. That's an excuse, they are ignorant, smartness. That is how Hatta Ya'lama Al-Imam al-Zahabi referred the matters back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that this explanation from this Imam is correct. I hope that this explanation is clear to us. That for the sake of Allah, let's be careful with people. Be easy. Know the people you say, this one, he committed sihr, he's kafir, or the ruling, and things like that. The alim should teach, explain. Explain. One day a man came to Al-Imam Al-Albani. I remember another one. I will mention the two, inshallah. A man came to Al-Imam Al-Albani and said that he has knowledge of ilmul gaib, unseen. Claiming the knowledge of unseen is what? It's kufr. Because Allah told her that, told us that la ya'lamuha illa hu. Nobody knows about gaib except him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did he say in Al-Jinn? Alimul ghaibi fala yudhhiru ala ghaibihi ahada. Allah is alimul ghaib, and he does not make anyone to know his ghaib except him alone. Illa man irtada min rasul, except those he wills, maybe amongst the angels or amongst the human beings. He tells them and then they know. Otherwise, Allah is alimul ghaib. Nobody knows ghaib except him. But this man said, I know ghaib. Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah said, okay, I have a reason I will not be able to discuss with you today, maybe tomorrow. He now asked the Imam, what is the reason? He said, oh, you don't know the reasons. And he said, you know ghaib. If you tell that you know ghaib, you should know the reason why I'm not able. The discussion ended there. At another time, another person came to his house and claimed that he is a prophet of Allah. And they were discussing this matter. He was educating the man from night till the next morning. They observed Salatul Isha together. Al-Imam Al-Albani told the man to lead Salat. They asked him, I said, this man is ignorant. He does not know anything. So we will teach him. By the next morning, the man had changed his views. That he was no more, he is not a prophet of Allah. So we have a bigger duty. Young people today would have sent this man to Jahannam immediately. You have a duty to teach, to explain, to explain, to teach, to teach, to explain, to explain. Ikhwa, explain, 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 explain. Teach, 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 teach. Teach, teach, explain, teach, explain, teach. Maybe the quarrel you have will not even come if you are teaching and explaining. But you go and hibernate somewhere. You're waiting for your brother to make a mistake and you begin to shout all about. Hear Allah about this kind of behavior. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah forgive all of us. I think this suffices as a proper lesson for us today. Ibn Allah will be starting with Al-Kabiratul Rabi'ah, which is what? Tarkus Salah. The evil of abandoning Salah. And that is from Al-Kabair. If you want to enter Al-Jannah, you must abandon Kabair. From the things you must abandon is to abandon Salah. You must abandon abandoning Salah if you want to enter Al-Jannah. Because abandoning Salah is from what? Kabair, major sins. That will not make you to enter Al-Jannah. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah forgive all of us. I hope that it is clear. Abu Amir, can we take a few questions? The time is already past.
Amen, Sheikh.
I mean, what you have.
The first question here is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
If someone close to you has taken the Shahada from Asha Jalabi, and perceives your balanced views as extreme, becoming defensive when you offer guidance. How can you best support this new convert in a constructive way?
The convert sees the person who converted him as extreme. Is that the question?
No, sir. The person, the convert, accepted Islam, took Shahada from an Afar Jalabi.
From Afar Jalabi?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And now, okay, the person is close, the convert is close to the questioner. Now the question, the convert perceives the questioner's balanced views as extreme and becomes defensive when you offer guidance. How can you just support this new convert in a constructive way?
Well, I have seen cases like this before. It is possible that you are also tough. If you are actually tough, ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك. Maybe our brother is a bit tough. Check yourself. The truth, Haq, it has a magnet. It magnets the innocent mind. If a person accepts Islam from Apa Jalabi, and you want to win that person away from him, you need to employ not just knowledge, a lot of hikmah and siyasa. A lot of hikmah, and I call it siyasa. In English, siyasa means politics. You have to employ a lot of hikmah and good way of managing the matter, administering the affairs. That is the meaning, basically, of siyasa. Administering the affairs properly between yourself, that brother, and the Afa Jalabi. For example, it is not necessary that from the very first day you start telling him about Jalabi. The first things you should start telling him about the oneness of Allah and the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad. Holding with you Quran and some books of hadith with which you will be showing him to see and read. Just continue upon this for some time. This man, because Jalabi is something that is contradictory to a nature that is balanced. If you have a balanced human nature with a good knowledge of Tawhid, you will know that Jalabi is evil. So you tell him Allah alone deserves worship. We don't worship any other thing. With this kind of discussions on Tawhid and refutation for shirk itself, you don't have to start referring to Afa Jalabi from day one. If you start, he will condition that man against you. So that is why it involves a lot of hikmah and graduality and starting with the first things first. I've mentioned three things. Check yourself. Make sure you are not too tough unnecessarily on some matters. Be easy. You see, Zahabi said, be easy with them. At both the Jalabi Afa and him, be ready to explain. And your attention should be about talking about Allah and His Messenger almost all the time, citing verses of the Quran and explaining those verses. Bringing the Quran which you give in to them, you read, look at it, and be explaining from the Quran in a nice manner. You may not be talking about Jalabi from day one. We're talking about the Prophet Muhammad, talking about the Quran in a nice way with hikmah. It is possible that one day it is that convert that will ask you about the job of that Jalabi man, because the Jalabi man will be doing extraneous, clearly misleading things. He will trust you. But if he has not trusted you, be careful about attacking what he's doing. What you should rather be doing is explaining Tawhid to the new man. And in fact, to the Jalabi man, it may make him leave Jalabi too. He becomes a person who abandons his Jalabi. He finds another means of earning. But you have to be gradual. You have to be wise in your approach. You have to know first things first. And Ikhwa, the first things first is that the people should understand that worship is for Allah alone. And that these are things they must not do. Otherwise, from the aspects of shirk, otherwise it will destroy their Islam. Gradually. Then talking about the Prophet Muhammad, always his character, his behavior, his speech, and the importance of his coming, Ganga, which is what? Following him, ittiba, following the Prophet. After these two things, salat, teach the man salat. After salat, he perfects his salat, or along with salat, depending on his work. Start teaching him the rulings of Islam about his work. Start teaching him the rulings of Islam about his work. So he begins to see Islam as something he needs to employ in all his life. Like that, gradually. You need to be gradual. You also need to be prayerful, making dua. Allahumma thabbithu ala dinik Allahumma thabbithu. Oh Allah, give this man strength. The Prophet used to do that to the companions. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even after Hijra, he was still praying that Allah, these muhajirun, don't let them like to go back to Macau. Dua, dua, dua. Making dua. For the person that you are inviting onto the path of Allah. Do you think that this man talking to you does not beg Allah that Allah should make you understand what he's saying? Wallahi, I do. I do. May Allah make things easy for us and forgive our shortcuts.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykhun.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Can we call it today here, Abu Amir?
Naam, Shaykhun. Salawatu alaykum.
Ameen, ameen. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaykum.
Ameen, ameen. Wa iyaakum, Abu Amir.